Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. We're celebrating 8 years on the air, and the Small Business Advocate Show is 8 years old this week. And we're having a lot of our longtime Brain Trust members on the show. Steve Martin's up in just a few seconds, and he's been with us. We're now in our eighth year with him, and later on in the week we're going to have Tim Berry's going to be on later today. Also, Rich Galen, he's been with us a long time. Tim's been with us as long as Steve has. Administrator Barreto has been with us over 4 years. He's going to be with us this week with the SBA. Beverly Inman Ebel is going to be with us. Bill Dunkelberg, Jim Donovan, Ivan Meisner, Steve Forbes is going to be on the show on Friday. Russell Brown, Karen Kerrigan was on the very first week we were on the air. Lots of our longtime Brain Trust members are going to be on with us all week as we celebrate our eighth anniversary. And let's get one of the old heads in here. Steve Martin is the president of Business Solutions. He's our profit pro. He's the author of Creative Approaches for Creating a Cost-Effective Organization, and he's our good friend. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you very much. And yeah, I am an old head. And 8 years older, I can't believe it. It's really remarkable. You've done a fantastic job, Jim, and a tremendous service for small business and large business everywhere.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve, but I got to turn that right back around on you and all of our over 500 Brain Trust members. And you've been right here. I don't know how many times you've been on the show. We can figure it up, though. We keep those records. I just don't have them in front of me. But I don't know how many times, a couple of hundred times at least, you've been on the show. And thank you for all that you've done. There's no telling how much profit you've helped my audience put on the bottom line. And for that, we thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome, and I certainly hope it's a lot.
Well, I'm sure it is, and in fact, and we're going to continue to do that. Thank you, thanks to you and your commitment to small business owners and to our audience. Today, you want to ask a question, don't you? You got kind of a question, and I'm going to ask the question, and you tell me what the answer is. This is a question, folks. You probably won't hear anybody else ask you today. What could you do with 1/10 of an ounce of plastic? Is that the question, Steve?
That's the question. Isn't that crazy?
1/10 of an ounce of plastic. What is that? What is that like? Does a plastic cup even 1/10 of an ounce?
Oh no, Jim. That's like a fifth of a plastic cup, or maybe even a tenth. It's not a lot.
Yeah.
Very very small.
Like a spoon. Like a
plastic
spoon?
Guess about the weight of a plastic spoon, the kind that we use at the picnic and throw away.
Well, now, what does a plastic spoon have to do with profit?
Well, it's real interesting. I buy a particular brand of yogurt, of course, at the wholesale club,
mm-hmm.
and this particular brand comes in a plastic cup with a liner, a seal on top, and then mm-hmm. an overcap.
Right.
And printed on the foil cap, it said, "What would you do with 3.6 million pounds of plastic?"
Hmm.
And I did a little math, and it turns out that each one of these lids, these overcaps, it's the suspenders for the belt and suspenders holding mm-hmm. this thing together,
right,
weighs 1/10 of an ounce. And this company figured out that it was costing them over $2 million a year to put the suspenders,
wow.
in other words, this overcap on this package. And they really didn't need it. So 1/10 of an ounce, with the quantity that they sell every year, is over 3.6 million pounds.
Of plastic.
Of plastic. That could be
not only, and that's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it, Steve? Because not only could that... could that be saving them money, but that could be making petroleum available for other uses.
Absolutely.
But Steve, we got to remember now in this the economy that we have, this free market economy, there also are people out there making those plastic suspenders, so to speak. And so are we putting them out of a job?
No, you're not, because that plastic will go elsewhere. Certainly during this period in time when there's a shortage of petroleum products, there's absolutely no problem at all.
So what's the solution? What's the answer to the question?
The real answer to the question is you don't necessarily look at an individual item. I have one of these little lids in my hand, just a piece of plastic, 1/10 of an ounce. Don't just look at the item for what it is, but look at for what it represents on the grand scale of things. Mm-hmm. In other words, do the math, do the multiplication. If you see an item that costs even, in this particular case, less than 0.3 cents, figure out how many you're using in a year and see what that total dollar represents.
Hold on to that thought. I've got some examples I want to ask you about when we come back after these messages. Steve Martin is our good friend, ladies and gentlemen. He's our guest and a longtime original member of our Brain Trust. It's 2012. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, celebrating 8 years on the air this week. 8 years of the Small Business Advocate show, and it's been a dream come true for me, and I know that's what you're thinking, isn't it, folks?
I'm so happy.
Steve Martin is our guest. He's our good friend. He's the author of Creative Approaches for Creating a Cost-Effective Organization. He's our profit pro, and we're talking about what you could do with 1/10 of an ounce of plastic. Steve, have you seen the commercial where the people are sitting around the conference table, and there are all kinds of reports in front of them, and the guy says, how can we save money? And somebody says, well, what about all this?
Yes.
And the operative line in that commercial is that the boss says, all of what?
That's and the guy exactly said, right.
And the guy repeats himself, and he says, all of this. These reports, all this stuff. And the point the employee was making is, if we could consolidate this, if we could figure out a way to do this in a more efficient way, we wouldn't have all the expense of the paper, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the guy says, how much would that be? And the employee says, millions.
Uh-huh.
And then you saw the thoughtful look on the boss's face. But to me, the operative term, the operative line in that commercial was, all of what? And exactly. I think that's your point, isn't it, Steve?
That's exactly right, Jim.
We got this elephant in the living room that nobody wants to talk about.
Well, the problem is you look at a piece of paper or a piece of plastic and you don't see any value in it.
But, well, and you also don't see how much of it there is.
Then that's the key, and you have to do the math. You know, every single page that is turned out in a report printed on a printer or on a copy machine costs mm-hmm. somewhere between 2 and 3 cents a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and everyone says, well, so what? Who cares? Well, the problem is that people are using thousands and thousands of pages a month and tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, in a typical business mm-hmm. of pages every year.
Right.
And, you know, you do the math on that, and you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars in terms of just material cost for the paper and the ink.
Well, aren't there two issues here, Steve? The going in issue and the coming out issue. In other words, what can we do to prevent creating more of these than we should? But number two, once we've created it, what do we do with what we have left over?
Yeah.
Aren't there two profit opportunities there?
There certainly are. Yeah, you have the opportunity to not waste your time and money on something. And that's, you know, I mentioned time here. Every single one of these pages in a report takes manpower, person power to create.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, if you don't use it or if it's not particularly efficient, it takes time and material to handle it on the other side. You know, you spend money to make it, and then you spend money to use it, and then you spend money to throw it away.
Mm-hmm. But once you have it, if what you have created was something that you needed, but now you don't need it anymore, can't we find some kind of way to profit from the waste?
Well, yes, you can sell your your waste paper for one thing, but the best thing to do in the first place is not to even create it.
Right.
Because in most companies, you have document retention requirements, and the problem is that someone creates a report, and say it's a 500-page report when it really only needed to be 2 pages in an electronic version,
mm-hmm.
or 400 in an electronic version. Now that thing has to go into long-term storage, and it might be there for 20 years because somebody's forgotten about it. So a few pages of paper could literally end up costing you tens or hundreds of dollars over the long term.
Steve, have you ever seen any kind of a report that showed the impact on paper and on storage and time in motion of email?
I've seen some numbers, but nothing that really integrates everything together.
When I look at my email activity and how I have basically, I've got critical email going back 7-8 years. That I mean, if I needed to, I could go back and get email for 7 or 8 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's all on a, you know, I could put it all on a little memory stick.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had all that same information on paper, it'd fill up, I don't know how many drawers of a filing cabinet.
And you'd never be able to search it.
I couldn't
find
manage it.
Exactly what you were looking.
Could not manage it at all.
Yes.
So, my point is I hear people railing against email. I hear people saying, I wish I didn't have email. I talked to an expert the other day who said, what if we just turned off email for a week? We didn't check email for a week. I said, that's preposterous.
Well, the problem is not the concept of email, which is actually beautiful. It's the fact that too many people are wasting everyone's time by sending the email to the wrong people or writing messages that really don't have a good purpose.
Well, see, what I do, I'll give you an example of where I'm headed with this. One of the big nemesis in my office, in my office specifically, not my offices, but on my desk, are little bitty pieces of paper with information on it. And so whenever somebody wants to give me their name and number, or email address, or whatever the information they want to give me, I ask them, would you mind putting that in an email and sending it to me?
Uh-huh.
I can manage that.
Yeah.
And that's cut way down on my paper.
Absolutely.
Most people don't mind doing that.
Yep.
Hold on to that thought, Steve. We're going to come right back with our good friend Steve Martin. He's our profit pro. And he and I will be right back after these messages. Stay with us. 10 till. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, celebrating 8 years on the air. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the very first one I ever gave you, folks, way back in 1997, smallbusinessadvocate.com. It's over 8 years old, that website is. And you can check that out when you get a chance and subscribe to my free newsletter, subscribe to my blog. All of it's free, folks. That's one of the things that we wanted to do from the very beginning was to make everything that we do available to you for free. I didn't want any impediment to you having the information that you needed. And because of that, I want you to thank our great sponsors and our Brain Trust members like Steve Martin, who make all this available to us and to help us to put this information out there for you and to archive it and to make it available to you. For example, Steve Martin, you and I have done interviews now since 98, and the archives, we have archives of our interviews way back to at least 99. People can go back and listen to all of the really smart things that you said way back then, Steve.
Boy, I'd like to listen to that.
Well, they're all right there on the archives. All you got to do is go listen to Steve Martin, go find him, his position in the Brain Trust or any of the other ways that you can find him there. And so I hope you'll take advantage of that. Steve, give us your website, please.
Jim, it's profitpro.us.
Profitpro.us. And tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Jim, you'll find a whole host of information for no charge, actually, which describes the steps that one should take to install a world-class profit improvement system or to achieve world-class profitability.
Now, I'm holding a really cool book in my hand that you and your lovely wife, Catherine, wrote, Talk to Me. Is that book still available?
Yes, it is, Jim. It's,
so, it's a book
one of those small publisher bestsellers after 8 years on the charts.
How to Create a Positive, Loving Communication by Stephen and Catherine Martin. You can find that there as well, folks. And in addition to Steve's profit information, I hope you'll check that out at profitpro.us. All right, Steve, wrap it up for us. How are we? We're talking about profits. We're talking about the little opportunities that we might have that we didn't think we had. We haven't seen. You know, after a while, we step over things so much that it becomes we feel like that it's we expect it to be that way when it really doesn't have to be. I mean, we've got a lot of trash, a lot of junk in our lives, metaphorical junk and real junk that maybe we're just stepping over, and it's hindering us from being more profitable.
Absolutely, Jim. You have to recognize that you cannot take everything for granted, and nothing is too small to examine at least once. And if you take a look at your business from that standpoint and assume that nothing is sacred, just take a look at it, ask yourself, even if it's small, whether if you do the math, whether it adds up over a reasonable length of time to an amount that you should do something about, then take action on it. And you'll be amazed at how small things can really add up to a large number. Make a big difference.
Let me give you a question that you could ask folks that would get this thing started. Let's say you're in the wholesale business. You deliver to customers. You have trucks that run on diesel fuel. And I still don't know why diesel fuel hasn't come down, Steve, even though other petroleums have, other gasolines have come down. But anyway, you're driving trucks around out there. You got people on the road. And you're delivering every day. If a customer calls today, you'll deliver it this afternoon. Well, what would it take? What if you ask yourself in a meeting, what if we only delivered to customers every other day? They call today and we delivered it tomorrow. And obviously, Steve, somebody's going to say, well, you know, what if they need it today? Well, maybe we just need to train them so that they know what they need. And so we deliver tomorrow. They call us today for what they're going to need tomorrow rather than calling us today for what they need today.
Absolutely, Jim. It could make a huge difference. And the other thing is there are computer programs out there that will chart the most effective route for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So drive less often and drive fewer miles.
Well, and there's so much that can be impacted. I mean, the life of your vehicles, the number of, if you're thinking you got to hire a new truck driver, maybe you just need a new plan.
Absolutely. Good questions.
Yeah. So those are the kinds of questions you're saying. Everything, you know, it's a lot of people would think it would be blasphemous to say, well, we're not going to deliver to a customer today. But maybe it's all in the training of ourselves and our customers. Maybe that's all we need to do.
That's exactly right. And that can make a huge difference. Just partner with your customers, determine what they really need, and make sure that you can provide that on a cost-effective basis.
And ask them the same question that your plastic company, your yogurt company asked you. This is how we're going to hold your prices down. Help us with that, right?
Absolutely, Jim.
Hey, Steve, give us the website again, please.
Profitpro.us.
And they can find the book there, can't they? Creative Approaches to Creating a Cost-Effective Organization. Thank you, Steve, for all these years. We appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Jim. So do we. We really think you're great.
Thanks. Steve Martin, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back with Rich Galen on the other side of the news. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.